Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar, hanging out with Larry of Primus. Larry, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
Excellent, excellent.
Awesome.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us about your rig again.
Oh man, my pleasure.
It's a treat. So let's dive right into it. What would you say is your main guitar that you're using on this, I guess, double tour? You guys are doing, you know, a normal set and then you're doing the new album.
Yep, two sets. It's a lot of, I've got a couple of different tunings. The main thing, I guess I consider this the main guitar. I don't know why this one became the main one. Fender sent me this because I said I wanted something with like the deluxe whole thing, the tuners, the whole thing. Something about this guitar just sounds amazing. Of course, I took steel wool to it and tried to make it look like it's a little more vintagey. It was just a little too shiny for me. So I just like the way it feels too.
Do you like having the neck finished? I see that it still looks like it has the lacquer on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's also has the lacquer. But for something about this guitar, it just sounds great. It's my go-to. We call it the number one.
Did you record the Desaturated 7 on this one?
Yep, this guitar was used a lot on it. Actually, this one was used a lot on it. And for the new album, which one's in there? This guitar Ooh. Was used a lot on it because it's purple.
Of course.
So, yeah, this was another custom one they made. We did a Willy Wonka themed tour. And these are the Willy Wonka colors, oddly enough. So some people did some big favors for me to paint this purple, get the orange. DiMarzio hooked up the yellow and thus the Wonka guitar with the cool big headstock.
What's the, do you know what particular single coil from DiMarzio are in there?
You know what? I wish I did because they sound great.
And
I
probably,
yeah, I bet it every time I'm like, I should get some more of those and I got to figure out what they are. But yeah, whatever they are, they sound great. That's an official model, whatever they are.
the ones that sound great.
Yeah, the ones that sound good. Get
and
those.
What about that first one there? Does it have a push button on it? Or is that a different strat?
Yeah, this it has the deluxe, but it's the S1 switch.
Yeah, do you ever use that? Or
I would use it if I knew what it did. They explained it to me. I've looked at the diagrams. I've tried it a bunch. But yeah, I don't use it much. I use this quite a bit, which is basically just the... I think it cuts everything. It's just the pickup direct. So that way, if I'm playing something that's getting a little, my hand's getting out of control, I'm not hitting the volume knob down and takes all the, nothing can go wrong there as far as when that's on, so.
With your HHS strats, are you normally in the bridge or you kind of fluctuate between all the positions?
I'm usually just between the two. I don't use the middle very often.
Yeah.
That's why it's dropped down so far, so I can actually not hit it.
And what strings are you using?
These are Dunlops. 9 through 46. I just did that because I saw Jimmy Page did that, and
was
enough of a reason for me.
Yeah. Have you used 9s for a while, or is that just
I had 10s for a long time, but then I went down to the 9s because I actually bought this Flying V on, like, eBay or something. I'm like, this guitar is killer. Why does this thing feel so good? And I realized I had 9s on it. So.
You never have any problems with, like, overbending or even just pulling the string off the fretboard?
No, oddly enough. But it's there's a lot of, we're pretty loose on... things bending perfectly to pitch.
Yeah,
I got a lot of leeway in my job here.
That's great. Let's go down the rest of the line here. What's what else we got on
the
rack?
This is the another one. You're gonna probably find out over the course of this. Fender's done me a lot of huge favors. They built this one. I said this one at all white. Somehow it came out this super cool finish. But basically this one, since it's got the roller nut, I use for things where there's a lot of stunt work going on with the whammy here. Mm-hmm. If I'm going all the way down or doing the kind of flippy tricks and stuff.
And it stays in tune pretty well for
you? Stays in tune pretty well. I'm assuming because of the roller nut. And also it's got a little bit brighter sound, just, or at least maybe a placebo effect of me thinking it has a brighter sound. So that's what this one's usually used for, anything there where there's a lot of whammy work going on.
And like you said, even if there isn't, and if you do go out of tune, it's almost like you intentionally did it because
yeah,
it's kind of the Primus way.
Yeah, that's my sound, out of tune,
Primus
man.
What else we got up there?
Then this is another... this is a guitar that I went out to the Fender factory to just try some stuff and figure something out. And they had this guitar laying. It was when they first started making the deluxe tellies, I think. And they pulled this thing out and it had this weird neck that was like backwards. It was huge at the end. And they went and shaved it down and brought it back to me. And it's like one of my favorite guitars now. It just something about this one sounds better than all my other Telecasters.
Do you still have like the 69? I know you used to have the 69 thin line for a while, and then the 76 Strat that you use for recordings.
Yeah, the 76 is over there.
All right. Yep. So what about the 69? Is that comparable to this one, or are they different beasts?
The real thin line, it's definitely a bizarre sounding guitar.
Yeah.
It doesn't come out much more because it's pretty fragile.
Yeah. Do you record with it then? Is that kind of a studio guitar?
Yeah, I recorded with it. I didn't record on this last one because I couldn't find it.
I wish I had your problem.
Yeah.
I can't find my guitar.
I have an Yngwie S stack of guitars laying around, you know. So yeah, it's a very cool Tele.
And what tunings are you running some of these guitars in, just to keep people hip to that?
The tuning, the one tricky one about this is there's a song on the new album that's it's called The Seven. And when I was trying to come up with parts, the part I wrote, I wasn't able to play it because it's a E flat on the top. So mm-hmm. This guitar is tuned to E flat normal, then just the bottom's E flat. So you can get a weird open ringy thing.
And then I know that you're really creative in the way you phrase notes and the way that you come up with progressions and like just keys and stuff. Have you ever done that to tunings, like created your own tunings and stuff like that to manipulate the sound that you want to hear?
I've tried a bunch, and there was a bunch of things I tried to write. I was like, oh, if I tune it this way it'll work, but for some reason I don't know if I'm just too lazy, I always go back to almost always standard tuning.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm becoming a big fan of drop D because it just feels good, sounds cool.
Yeah, so it's a little heavier.
It's a little heavier. You know, you can just kind of do that more. I'm into convenience.
Killer, man.
Cool, so that's the purple one. There's this is another orange one, which was the, once again, just tons of favors from Fender. So it's kind of the reverse Wonka one. This one is tuned down to D. You know, they're all these deluxe. I just love these bridges. I love the tuners. Which brings me to the opposite of these. This is 76 Strat that I bought in a Starving Musician in San Jose, California for a very good price. And I just had this guitar forever. I love the neck, the big headstock.
Like, what do you look for in a neck? You mentioned a couple necks so far, like really vibing on that. What do you like a big neck?
I like a medium, just not too fat. I have a couple guitars with huge fat necks that I just never play.
Yeah.
As far as Strats, I just love the big headstocks. Probably just, you know, from all the times of seeing, you know, all the guys over the years playing them. Uli and Hendrix and the big headstock. It just looks cool. So, yeah. So this guitar is very, I don't know. This is one that's probably stuck around longer than any other guitar I have. I see it's got some, starting to get some wear in it.
Do you miss playing? I know I've seen you play Les Pauls. Obviously, PRS is a brand you've been associated with.
Yeah.
Do you miss playing Les Pauls, or do you find you're at home most with the Fender stuff?
I think the Fender, I've kind of settled into the Fender stuff because at one point I was like, I'm bringing all my guitars on tour just because I wanted, you know.
Yeah.
I was wearing everybody out with like, okay, I'm going to switch guitars every time just because I wanted to play all the different stuff.
Yeah.
But it kind of turned out there's not a, especially for Primus, it's a very, I think it's a Strat Tele kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun to have all different guitars that look cool. And
yeah. Right on. Is there anything you've done to this to keep it running, or, you know, to upgrade it anyway over the years?
I don't know what we dropped in here. I'm assuming it's some form of DiMarzio, but no, other than that, I guess somebody did do something to it. We must have put, I don't even know. Someone did something to this when I wasn't looking.
At some point, someone I know just bridged.
Yeah, someone did. We've yet to find the bar for this, I believe, so.
I'm sure someone at Fender can give you something.
That's true. We got to call somebody up. I have a feeling, though, if you put a bar in this, it wouldn't stay in tune very long. It's kind of got like, you know, you turn this, it goes.
Just in pain.
Just in pain. So that's that one. And then this guy here, this was my attempt to not bring my 76 out on tour. So once again, I was a Fender and asked if they could copy that one. And, you know, I wanted to bring one on, but I wouldn't care on tour if it got beat up or stolen or anything. So hence this guitar. And this has been through a lot of change. But then EMG put these things in and they're pretty great.
No, those are passive EMGs?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm, you know, in my brain, I can't, I always think, oh, that battery's probably going to die soon. So I can't wrap my brain around having the battery in there.
You'd just always be fretting about it.
I would be, which is silly. But, another cool
Fender.
And
does this get used at all, or is this kind of a backup to the green one?
Since it's tour's just starting, we're going to start phasing this one in pretty soon. It sounds great, but yeah, we haven't had time to really mess with it yet. So soon this one will be in the rotation.
I like the green, or the gold on green. That's a cool look.
Yeah, it's supposedly matching the flake in there. Pretend like I did all this on purpose.
Well, I think we got one left in this one. Just give the PRS some love there.
Yep, this is the good old, this is like my first PRS ever that I was, I tried to have Paul, you know, his thing is the fancy finishes, the beautiful colors and everything. Yeah. So I asked him, hey, can you just do one sort of like Les's bases? I loved how it just had the matte finish with just sort of a wax, you know? So I asked him to build this one and took a while for him to actually, he's like, I'm not doing that. Then he finally did it. I think he liked it. But so yeah, this has like really no finish on it. The headstock, the neck was been broken, the original, which sucks because I asked him just to sign it with a paint pen instead of the inlay.
Oh.
So that was very cool. But then the neck got broken making the Kalamazoo video.
How did you do that?
Somehow I went over to Brain because we were pretty stupid back then, and he would like, you know, pound on it with sticks and do it. I don't know what happened, but he hit it with the stick and it went flying in the air. It just like shot off into the air. Next thing I knew, I just heard it go, and I was like, oh man, that can't be good.
Man, the day of the music videos.
Yeah, that's what, that could tell you how long ago it was. We were shooting a video for MTV.
God, I don't even know if they still play music on that channel.
I'm pretty sure they don't.
What songs or what kind of era of Primus tunes does this come out on?
This would have been like Punch Bowl era, Pork Soda.
Okay.
And that's why I brought this out, because it's the only guitar that has 24 frets.
Gotta
and get
up
a couple,
there.
Yeah, there's a couple songs where I go to try to hit that 24th fret, and it turns out it's not on the guitar. So I said at the last minute, I got to remember to bring that PRS back out. So it's a great guitar. Paul makes amazing stuff, as everyone knows. And it's, you know.
Beat up quite a bit.
It's been slid across the stage a few times. It's been through some antics. I'm sure if you open it up, there's a fair amount of beer sitting inside of there.
Huh? Yeah.
Two guitars are four, right?
It's got a, I'm sure it just adds to the tone.
It's got a fine patina. Yeah. Yeah, that's how you get that tone, kids.
Well, we buzzed through guitars. How about we hop over and talk amps and pedals and
Let's
stuff?
Let's do it.
All right, Layer, we're over here in amp land. Walk me through what you got going on here, orange stuff.
All right. So we got, this is the science project here. We got the lunchbox things, mainly, once again, because they look cool. And this rig I just put together, I just wanted to have this sort of something like a, looked like a science lab or something, and I just thought these things always kind of look like that. So
what were you envisioning as the grand project? Because this isn't what you probably
saw. Originally it was like it was going to be too high of these cabinets with these on top of it, and then as we went along, you know, I started looking at the stage and I kind of wanted it to balance with what Les had, so
yeah,
I kind of scaled it down to so it just kind of the stage looked even, and it's kind of nice not to have it just blowing my head off, so I can crank it up a lot higher because it's going by my feet.
Yeah, your calves are getting blasted.
Yeah, and so we've got this row here, then on the back we've got a row of combo rocker verbs.
Yeah, so that, I think the way that the Dark Terror is, it's the drive channel out of the rocker verbs. And so why are you using the Dark Terrors themselves?
The Dark Terrors are, well, we're still trying to phase them in. We've got like two sounds, so it's like we're supposed to be switching between. Basically, I don't like to use a lot of like pedals for distortion stuff. I like to use just the amps.
The tubes.
But so usually that's the thing. I'm starting to phase in because I've got all these great Keeley pedals. But yeah, it just, you know, probably overkill of, I'll switch to this row of amps now and have this sound. So.
And this is something I haven't seen in a setup before, is your own little mixer you got to control for Tim, right?
Yep, the mixer is the key thing, because instead of the thing where you're yelling at the monitor guy, hey, you know, hand signals, you know, he's checking his quarterback wristband to see what that means.
Yeah.
You just come over and mix it yourself now. Instead of going like, turn up the bass, I just walk over and tell myself to turn up the bass.
Because you guys are running monitors, you're not doing in-ears?
We do in-ears, and then we have the monitors to sort of fill it out.
Okay.
I kind of like to keep mine a little loose, just because, you know, I don't want to be totally in a bubble. So I can, you know, kind of hear the crowd.
Yeah.
Still feel like I'm here on the stage, and then I get a little bit of, so you can feel from the monitors, and there's sound coming from everywhere.
So how is the fractal lurking back there? How's that working to your whole sound setup?
No, the fractal is basically to save me from having to hit like five different pedals for some parts.
Okay. Because
there's parts where we'll jump right to something and I found myself not making it in time.
Yeah, a lot of tap dancing, I bet.
Yeah, a lot of tap dancing and, you know, going to the park, kind of stumbling in. So now the fractal I can have like, you know, if I'm switching from, you know, just five different effects to five other different effects, I can hit one button and I've got it there.
Cool. Well, let's get into your pedal board and talk about that stuff. All right, Larry, this is my favorite part of the video. This is where I graciously ask you to play some riffs for us. But first, let's just talk about your setup. You got the controller down here, and then you actually have a lot of analog stomp boxes. So kind of talk to me about how you're working everything.
Yeah, well, the main thing, yeah, because we have the Fractal, which saves me on the tap dancing. But I just, you know, I can't get over that hump of not having pedals, not having things I can reach down and turn, and just, I still have to have them. So there's still a million pedals. Yeah, let's see. Where do we start?
Where would you say is like your main like core tone, like just amps? Are you running like your amps dirty?
Yeah, there's just a clean and a dirty.
Okay.
You know, although that's my clean or something. yeah, and it's just most of the sounds coming from the amp. And then, you know, there's a couple of fuzzes and things like that. Most of these are just drastic effects, like, you know, this Keeley Bubbletron. By the way, this guy, Robert Keeley's just built all these pedals for me, and it's insane. I've never had anybody do anything.
Yeah, and we'll show these pictures, Perry, once we get... And they have the casings are all custom. They're beautiful.
Yeah, they're custom. They look amazing. They sound amazing. I'm just like, we just got all this stuff, so I'm over the moon, and you can see things are still... evolving with this pedal board, so yeah, you showed up just in time for it to be halfway done.
Perfect.
Which would probably be the case forever, but
under construction.
Yeah, so well, to the Bubbletron, this is my favorite pedal right now. It sounds like this. That's a Bubbletron.
Now, would you say that's like something that you would use with I know you got the Ola Chorus, but like, cause that kind of goes in chorus territory where like DMV or Extinction Burst has it. Like I always call your, when I talk about it, like people love chorus. It's real clean and watery. That's how they say it. I like yours cause it's like rusty, rusty water. That's how I always refer to your chorus tones, or like a rustiness to it. So is the Bubbletron doing more of that, or like the Strymon for the chorus type stuff?
Well, you'll find out that I have like five pedals that do almost the same thing because I just can't help it. The Strymon's doing this sound. You know, so it's just very drastic.
Yeah.
Most of my effects are usually set very drastic.
Which I love. Because I want to hear it.
You know what I mean? That's like, how I feel. If I'm going to have an effect, you know, I don't want it to be subtle.
Like, oh, is that that? Or is it just kicked on? Like, you know?
No, that's on. So the Strymon's great for that. That's what I use that for. It shows up in a lot of songs.
Like what songs? Like,
there's a song, More on TV, that's on the last one.
And
that's
this.
Otherwise, it'd just be...
This is so boring.
Yeah, that's no good. You need this. Plus, if you get bored, you can just tear it on and go... It's fun.
Instant Primus.
And then, you know, the phaser's a phaser.
Now, where in a song or where are you using that?
You know, it's hard for me to really think of where I'm using that. It's just whenever I'm standing around, I go like, okay, we need a trippy phaser sound.
Yeah.
But,
So you feel like you have set, like you're like, okay, this part's coming up, I'm going to use this pedal, or are you kind of, every night you're changing it up, you might use the Bubbletron where the Strymon might got used the night before?
Yeah, well, there's definitely songs where the part is from certain pedals.
Okay.
You know, like this Bubbletron, I used a lot on the new record just because... Robert had sent me this pedal, and I just loved it so much. I tried to jam it in anywhere I could get away with it.
Yeah.
You know, basically, I would just turn on all the time and wait till they said, nah, don't use that pedal anymore.
Is that what's getting used on the track, like after the choruses or the verse?
Yeah. Yep. That'd be the Bubbletron. And then, you know, he just built me this tap tempo, which sounds amazing. I love this pedal. It's great to be able to tap everything in time when we're jamming or something, just to keep... I love tap tempo everything, so.
Is that a whole different, not, I mean, now tap tempo's not a new thing, but like when you started playing guitar in the late 80s and 90s and stuff, that wasn't a feature in pedals and stuff, so I'm sure having an Axe FX, and then obviously tap tempo in a lot lesser degrees, these tools have almost become instruments themselves in the way
Absolutely.
That you can use them.
Yeah, totally.
Do you find them inspiring?
Yeah, total, 100%, especially, you know, having the tap tempo, because you can get it right in time with the song. Now you're kind of creating a texture that's part of the song, and it's musical because of the way that having the tap tempo, mm-hmm. as opposed to sitting there and trying to get it right in place, you know. I heard, like, you know, the Smith song with the classic, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That I heard that they just had to keep going by phrase by phrase and going by, yeah, and getting it set. So there's no more of that kind of stuff. And I just love the sound of tremolos and those kind of things in time.
What's your favorite, like, tremolo sine wave? Like, you know, there's the sawtooth, there's the triangle wave.
Just the sawtooth is drastic, you know, drastic. Helicopter.
Yeah, Vox style.
Basically that. I don't know why that's going so now. So that's that one. And this is just, you know, a tap delay now, which is great for everything, especially once again for your jamming, you know, if you want to put it right in time. So tap tempo delay.
How is that the, I guess I'll call it the Larry delay, since it's different than the two carbon copies.
I'm just getting
copies.
Used to it too. Yeah, but you know, because I started off with just carbon copies and absorbed, like, and these are set for different. This is just a regular kind of, just a solo sort of. You know, I'll use it for, you know, if there's a solo thing and I wanted to add some echo to it. It's just, that's what that pedal's for. And then this one's set to more of a, like, you know.
Jilly.
Yeah, exactly.
Jilly's on Smack, yeah, because that was another one I was going to ask, because that one has a very unique delay sound.
Yeah, so that's one where very definitely, bouncy. That made the song, that made the whole part, because, you know, so. Which, you know, it's always fun. I'm always hoping people think I'm actually picking all that, but. So that one is, you know, each one of that one's set for that sound. And that, you know, that'll show up in some other things too. And then just the good old octaver. I don't know where that's at, but I know it does show up every now and then. That's a great one, the EBS.
Yeah, people were asking what, I mean, if you don't remember, but if you had to cover the stuff now, what's like the octave you used on the Brown album, specifically like Shake Hands with Beef?
That was probably a Mutron.
Okay.
It's I just found that the other day. It's in bad shape.
Oh, no.
So that would never make it.
Yeah.
It would never make it through a whole show. So luckily I found this one. And then we were just over in Sweden, we ran into them and they gave me that one there.
Yeah, EBS is normally associated with bass stuff, you know, that Billy Sheehan signature gear. So
yeah.
How, why, what landed you into an octa bass?
You know, I just went into True Tone Music in Santa Monica and they were nice enough to let me sit there and wear them out all day with trying every octave pedal.
So you're just like every other guitar player.
Yes, exactly. I didn't play Stairway to Heaven. Or I probably did, actually. Yeah, so I just dug through every one of them, and that was the winner.
And how are you, yet another delay, is that more like a looper, I guess, maybe?
Yeah, so this one we just put in the other day because there's a song on our new album that sort of has a part that ends with a. And I couldn't find any delay that would go down to 700 on the tempo.
Oh.
So I tried every pedal, I couldn't get anything down, and luckily I saw that in a box, and I was like, oh yeah. And it went down that low. So that's why that's there. Strictly because no other pedal will go that slow. But I think Robert Keeley's going to sort that out for me.
I'm sure, yeah, the mad scientist will do it. But you do have a Mutron. You got the big guy.
Yep. This is like the reissue one that our road manager bought for me because he said I needed the Jerry Garcia pedal. And yeah, there's a lot of envelope on a lot of the a lot of solos from like Punch Bowl and Pork Soda. There's a lot of them. They're just subtle. So
what else gets added to, like, as you brought up, was My Name is Mud. Like, what's also in that solo?
That, and the Mud one is basically, it was a big muff on the record.
Okay.
And actually just today we've been trying to figure out which one we're going to use, because it's basically this sound. So now we're trying to decide if we want to use that one. Ooh, I like that one. This is what we were doing before you guys got here. That one, or I think the Wolf I really want to use just because it's called the Wolf.
Yeah.
This one we're still trying to work. See, we have lots of things to do this.
And what about the wah? I know that you, is this the custom wah that you had the two different wahs combined?
This is not that one anymore because we just broke that one somehow. So we're pretty hard on wahs for some reason.
What was the original one, just in case people didn't see that? Was a dime bag and who was the
It was
the other
a dime
one?
Bag and I believe the Bradshaw.
Okay, the CAA wah. CAE wah.
Yeah, so I think we had taken that one originally, yeah, and then they modded it and put it in just because we sat there forever trying to get the for the beginning of a damn blue collar tweaker sound.
I was going to ask you, how do you create that sound now if in a live setting?
Well, so when I did it on the album, it was what was the Yamaha unit? Was it the SPX?
I'm not familiar.
It had this really crude like pitch shifter in it. You could do, so it had +3 up, +3 down, and then this Robert Fripp chord. So all those things were combined to make just the horriblest clashing of notes you could imagine. So, and that's probably the thing people have asked me, like any guitar player has asked me most, like, how do you get that thing? So it's that chord that I stole from Robert Fripp. And then with the, I've got it approximated in here with the
tweakers.
Yeah, so that's basically a pitch, you know, 3 up, 3 down. So it's that and this.
I can like already hear it. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, and that came about from just sitting around in our practice place, just being stupid and making robot sounds. We're like, hey, we could use that for something.
It's fucking classic. What's the blue one here that you're using?
What's that? Okay. Okay, I guess we're running out of time. They're gonna let people in and they're gonna beat us.
Well,
all right.
Just to wrap it up, what's the King of the Britain?
The King of the Britons, that's the one I'm using now for the My Name is Mud, without the tweaker sound. And it's basically, from what I understand, it's like a plexi simulator pedal. Gotcha. I just love the way it breaks up. It's a great pedal, so that's what we're using now, but we really want to get the Wolf in there, like I said, because it's called the Wolf.
And I don't know if you're playing it live, but I know that you play a slide all over most of the records at some point, but what are you using for slides, like... one that jumps out of my mind is American Life.
Oh, yeah.
You're playing slide. Do you have a specific, well, you have the glass one here. Is there anything specific that you look for in a slide?
Just this particular slide because of the thickness of it. And I hold it because I learned how to play a slide from watching David Gilmour on Live at Pompeii when I was in high school.
Yeah.
You know, when he's like sitting there, I believe, maybe on some form of drug with his shoes off on the ground going. But so he holds it, you know, like this, not on his finger. So that's how I learned to play. So. This particular size, I like the thickness, the way it sounds. But.
Okay, I got one more question before we're getting told we gotta
sorry,
wrap
what time
up here.
Is
you got two or three different solo sections in Winona's Big Brown Beaver. So
yeah.
The first two are kind of gnarly, you know, fuzzed out.
Right.
But then the last one's really like compression, chicken picking style.
Right.
So what are the two different settings if you have those dialed up?
What I'm doing now, I was trying to get like the loudest, cleanest sound. I'm just using this and basically that one there, when I did it, I was just trying to get the most, like, trying to simulate that I knew how to play country solos.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like this.
Well, do it.
Was it? Those guys. Lots of these. Lots of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then what's like the two earlier sections of that where it's super gnarly and fuzzed out?
It's probably just this kind of, it's this, like just super distorted with a delay and just... maybe not that much distortion. I think it's this one. So just delay and lots of distortion and wah.
Do you ever park the wah, like, you know, half-cocked? Or is it kind of, you're always either riding it or
I think
it
there's
not?
Like the song Pork Soda is the only time I've ever done that. Because yeah. I just kind of got where it was like right in the middle and it's like. So just to get the like nasally sort of sound.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so this is the new wah, because I just asked Brian Key over at Dunlop. I said, what's the one that has the most vintage and the most throw sound? So he sent me this one. I think that's just the classic original one.
And I think that's about it, Larry. I mean, I have plenty more questions, but sorry, I don't want to get us in trouble.
I didn't know we were going to be under the gun, but...
No, I appreciate it. And if you guys want to find out more and see what Larry's up to and his tricks on stage and his science experiment behind him as it evolves, come out and see the show. Larry, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Chris Keys for another Rig Rundown.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.